Hear ye, hear ye. The court is now in session.
Father God, I thank you right now for your presence. I thank you for an anointed atmosphere. I thank you, Father God, for just shifting. I thank you, Lord, for the tongue of the learned. I thank you for making everything clear and plain, God. Thank you for clarity. Thank you right now in the name of Jesus for strengthening me in my inner man. Thank you, God, for eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive. I give you honor, give you glory, and I give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. I know Kathy wanted me to want to hit on the bloodline a little bit more. And I went back and did some more looking and stuff, and to get a full good understanding of your bloodline and your generation and whatever, you need to know what sin is, iniquity, and transgression. Mm. And sin is missing the mark. It's an error, a mistake. And repentance is necessary. Transgression is defiance, revolting against God, rebelling, doing things knowingly and intentionally against God. Mm. And then iniquity, you know, is unfairness, you know. It's the bloodline sins. It's repetitive sins. Mm-hmm. Sins that was done without repentance. You know what David said? I was born into iniquity. Mm-hmm. And sin is anything that comes short of the glory of God. And, you know, I used to always wonder, you know, what was the difference in sin and transgression and iniquity? And I couldn't, you know, just wrap my mind around it. And every now and then, even though I was studying, I still had to go back and try to separate sin from transgression and from iniquity. And sins, anything that comes short of the glory of God. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, proud, foolishness. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, adultery. And that's gone up, coming from the sins of the flesh in Galatians 5:19-21. There are many things we do that fall short of God's glory, which we usually don't classify as sin. For example, fear. Fear is sin, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. And I remember I used to always quote that scripture before the accident. And after the accident, I always wanted to go on a cruise. I was afraid to get on a plane. I didn't really associate that with sin. It's just that it was something that, you know, I feared. Now, I'm not going out there in all that water. And then after the accident, I thought I was looking at something about the word and whatever, and I said, oh, my God, I am so sorry, because I didn't trust you, and I kept myself from enjoying life. I almost died on the ground 2 blocks from the house and never made it out of the neighborhood. I went on a cruise. When I got back from that cruise, I booked a flight to California. And after I came back from California, that's when I made the reservations to Ethiopia. And somebody asked me, they said, are you afraid to go? I said, I'm afraid not to go. Lord, there was no, I mean, that the fear, I didn't need anything for seasickness. I didn't need nothing for air sickness. When I booked the flight to California, I set myself at the window and I made myself look out.
Amen.
And
wasn't it beautiful?
Yes. And so I made the decision that I was going to enjoy life. Amen. Worry, do not worry, commands the Lord in Matthew 6:25, 31, 34. Things that we don't even think about, that they are sin. And he said, you know, if I take care of the birds, won't I take care of you? Because worrying is not trusting him. Carmen had mentioned something a while back about rest, entering the rest of God. Mm-hmm. When we're in fear, when we're in worry, and shame is another one, lust of the flesh, improper thoughts, those things keep us from entering the rest of God. They keep us from enjoying the rest of God. And these are things that the enemy can use against us in the courts of heaven. Yeah. They don't trust you. Vengeance, beloved, do not... Okay. Vengeance is another one. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Sometimes people still have that old mentality that, you know, that the word was taken out of context years ago. Because I used to hear that when I was growing up. Eye for an eye, teeth for a teeth. Uh-huh. And until I learned, you know, that's not the word of God. That's something that's been twisted by the enemy to make you think that you have a right to do certain things to right the wrong that was done to you. But when things happen, you put those things in the hands of God and leave them there, and He will take care of them. And even in Galatians, He said, nobody gets away. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. Gossip and slander. And the tongue is a fire, a whirl of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Gossip, slander. You know, people think about murder. I mean, if I shoot somebody or somebody got killed or whatever, that was murder. But when you gossip and you slander, and you ruin a person's character, that is the same as murder. We could be in here right now talking about a certain person, and that person walks through the door, and everybody's idea of that person is wrong.
Totally altered.
That person can go through severe shunning, painful hurt. You never know what a person is going through, and we may be the one that will save that person's life. That person could need a smile. You know, all of us are dealing with something, and that murder with our tongue can destroy a person's life. I've seen people move away. Well, that's why a lot of people falling away from church. Murder in the church. Yes. Murder at the altar. Murder when somebody go, you know, come and be transparent. Open up yourself. You need prayer. Let us pray for you. And somebody come into that altar and they tell you what they're going through, and you leave that altar with your so-called juicy piece of gossip, and you destroy that person, and they'll never go to the altar again. In fact, they may leave the church and never come back to church again. So being careful with our tongue is very important, because it commits murder. It can set on fire. It can destroy a lot of things. And not just what it does to another person, but our tongue will destroy our own destiny for ourselves. And then you have transgression, where it says transgression is knowingly doing something, revolting against God. It's a national, moral, or religious, just being defiant. I'm going to do what I want to do, and nobody can't reach you to try to get you to do otherwise, because your mind is set. I'm going to do these things. Mm-hmm. And iniquity, perversity, it is moral, it is evil. It's things that we think in our heart. Think on the, in Philippians, think on these things that are lovely, that are pure, that are holy. Mm-hmm. Because if the enemy is throwing fiery darts, if something evil hits your mind and you don't cast that thing out right away, it'll eventually come out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll start doing whatever it is. But sin, when repeated against the knowledge of God, becomes transgression,
mm-hmm.
which, if it continues long enough, eventually comes iniquity,
uh-huh.
which perverts the flesh. This perversion changes the DNA, RNA structure of the flesh, resulting in genetic changes that are passed on from generation to generation. Just as the Bible says in the second commandment, which has as yet been repealed by God. This is the way high blood pressure, alcoholism, sexual perversion, jealousy, anger, fear, etc. are passed down from generation to generation. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. The progression from sin to transgression to iniquity, it puts us into bondage. This progression is also described in James 1:15. And when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death.
Mm. Okay, Joanne.
Go ahead.
That is really good, that first part you started out. And it's really deep, and I need to absorb it a little bit more, okay?
Okay.
When you first started talking, before you got to the part about, you mentioned things like high blood pressure, alcoholism, but that statement right before that,
okay,
would you just repeat that a little bit slower, because that is really okay. Deep, and I need
to... Sin, when repeated against the knowledge of God, becomes transgression, which, if it continues long enough, eventually becomes iniquity, which perverts the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
This perversion changes the DNA / RNA structure of the flesh, resulting in genetic changes that are passed on from generation to generation. Just as the Bible says in the second commandment, which has as yet been repealed by God. This is the way high blood pressure, alcoholism, sexual perversions, jealousy, anger, and fear, etc., are passed down from generation to generation.
I'm going to add in right here that we can remember at the very beginning with Cain, the Lord said, sin is crouching even at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Joanne and I are speaking. We need to put this in our notes and our remembrance, that say that you have parents that are not in their flesh, not sinful in the ways of alcoholism or any of these things,
mm-hmm.
but then their child becomes that, and you're sitting there thinking, how did this happen?
How does this happen?
Okay, see, somebody, whether for the good or for the bad, it always comes through an open door. Somebody opened the door. So in this teaching here, and then we'll continue next week on it. Joanne, speaking about the generational, speaking about these different things. That's why the repentance and approaching God as righteous judge in the court, because somewhere down the line behind you, it came through a door. Somebody opened that door in the line. You may not know who it is, but most of the time you may not know. So that those parents are, how did this happen?
Mm-hmm. How does this happen?
Somebody opened the door. So that's where in this teaching, in this knowledge, in this revelation that Jesus says, I don't give this revelation to just anybody,
not
everybody.
Those,
I give this revelation to my people so that they'll know. So you can close the door.
That's right. That's right.
So that you can go in and say, my husband and I, we didn't do these kind of things. Well, Uncle so-and-so three generations back did. And some, and then we'll go into later how that came upon the child. But that, it came in through Uncle Tom way back there. Mm-hmm. And no one ever knew to go in to do this. Mm-hmm. So guess what? Now it's on us. But God's given us the revelation
That's
to
right.
do that. Somebody opened the door. Now God's revealed it to you.
Amen.
You can go in so you can close that door.
Amen.
And get it taken care of.
Amen.
Amen. Because God told Cain, sin is even crouching right now at the door.
Because he's coming for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish.
Yes.
He's
yeah.
dealt
and we're talking
with some
about
things.
Generational things. So somebody opened that door to sin. Somebody it has will have the ability through God to close the door.
Okay.
Breaking generational curses. Blessings and curses are vehicles of supernatural powers. For good if blessing, for evil if curses. Both will continue for generations. Trace your problem. Many of God's people are enduring curses instead of enjoying the blessings of God. The vehicles of blessings and curses are usually words. Words that are spoken, written, or simply words that was pronounced inwardly. Be careful of your thoughts. They can also be transferred by objects. Excuse me. Things we may collect that have demonic ties. And they can also be transmitted by through objects. Years ago, a coworker, I came to a friend of mine, and she said her husband had went to a yard sale, mm-hmm. and he had bought this mirror, which is that stands, you know, these long mirrors that's on a stand, this swivel-like mirror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they started, they weren't getting along. And he left. When she stands in front of the mirror to get dressed, she felt like eyes was looking at her, and the hair on her arms would stand up.
Yeah.
It was so creepy. So she took the mirror and put it in the attic. And her husband came back. But then when he came, he asked her where the mirror was. Where's the mirror? And she told him it was in the attic. So he went up there and he got the mirror and he brought it back down. And the problem started all over again. And he left. And this time he took the mirror with him.
Yeah.
There are things that we think that they look like decoration, like Buddha statues and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. All those things are demonic objects.
Yes.
And they open the door for the enemy to come and check on his stuff.
Yeah.
Mm. African arts, certain frames, statues, little ornaments and things like that. When they make these things, they curse them. They speak curses on them,
yeah.
and stuff like that. And I'm not saying don't go to yard sales. What I'm saying, be prayerful about what anything you buy. Plead the blood of Jesus, but don't just pick up stuff. If somebody had given me a little statue, that thing was fun. It was eerie when she gave it to me, and it had a ball on it. And I would lay in the bed and watch this thing, you know, and I didn't want her to ask me about it. But I took that thing out in the garage and got the hammer and cut and broke it to pieces, because I knew it, if I didn't feel right about it, it wasn't right.
That's right.
Yeah. She's just going to have to ask me about it. But it's gone. It's gone. Yeah, but even like, you know, certain things like people think, you know, like you got people dealing like children was dealing with Ouija boards and what we know better, but a lot of people don't know better.
That's right.
And tarot cards and all of that stuff. These things are real. Okay, in Deuteronomy 28, there's 14 verses of blessings, 54 verses of curses, seven forms of blessings and curses. Number one is exaltation, being lifted up. Number two is being reproductive. You are fruitful in every area of your life. Number three is health. Number four is prosperity and success. Number five is victory. You're victorious in Christ. Number six, authority. You're the head. Then the head makes decisions. Number seven is above and strength. You're not beneath. And then there's the seven of curses. Just some of them. Humiliation. Barrenness. Nearly always in some way associated with the curse is barrenness. Sickness of all kinds. And if you read that in the curses, well, he names all types of sicknesses and diseases in it. I don't even like to read them. I said, God, this ain't gonna come on me.
No,
none of it.
That's right.
And poverty or failure. You seem like you're never gonna make it. You almost, and then something else happens. Defeat. You feel defeated. Of helplessness. You're the tail. You feel like you're being dragged around instead of by circumstances and situations. Beneath. That means weakness. Seven marks of a curse. Mental / emotional breakdown. And it's not to say that if you have these that you are under a curse, but sometimes if you have more than one or two or three and these things are repetitive, it's a curse.
Yes.
Repeated chronic sickness, female problems, barrenness, miscarriage, and problems with menstruation. Number four, breakdown of marriage, family, alienation. Marriages break up, families fall apart, child abuse, children disrespect. It's a great divide in the family. Continued financial insufficiency, always short, never enough. Being accident prone. History of suicide, unnatural deaths. I'm going to speak for my family. You know, you have that where that thing with when shacking came out, where people say, you know, let's live together, you know that we want to get married and whatever. That's a lie from the enemy, because you end up with the same responsibilities and you go through the same fight. And then the premature deaths, history of suicide, unnatural deaths. My aunt passed about 3 weeks ago. She was 78. She was the last of 11 siblings. My mom was the only one that had reached the age of a few months or weeks from 84. The funeral that I went to, my uncle in California, he had just reached 80. The rest of them died 78 and younger. The youngest of the siblings passed away with congested heart failure within a few months of each other, and they were barely in their 60s. That is a curse, and that is premature death. Because none of them never should have gone that early. Some of them should have still been here.
Yes.
When I became a Christian, because I always had that fear that I was going to pass early. But when I became a Christian, I broke that thing off me, and I broke it off my children. That I will live long, and I will live strong. I will be in my right mind and well able. The great aunts before them, siblings before them, because we each line was a huge family. It was like 11 of them, premature. Three of my great aunts had poor circulation, both legs amputated. Three of them. One had bone cancer, and me looking at her suffering, you know, bone—it's nothing like it's like there's nothing they can give you for pain for bone. You know how you sometimes say, "Ooh, it hurt me to the bone."
Mm-hmm.
That's pain. That's miserable, and that's a curse. And this and we need to check ourselves, check our line. And it's not enough to say, I break the curse.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you doing for your body physically, mentally, and emotionally? A curse is like a long, evil arm stretched from the past. You don't know how far back. Everything you're about when you're about to succeed, something trips you up.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get up and start over again, and the cycle is repeated. That almost situation, and you almost got the job. You almost got out of debt. We almost made it, you know? And it did, something got in the way, but it's a curse. Trace what's happening. Okay, in Deuteronomy 28:1, let's go to Deuteronomy. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I should have turned it in. Okay. The blessings come. Deuteronomy 28:1 brings the blessings. Why? Because it says in 28:1, if you will listen, I'm reading from the Amplified, diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. That brings the blessing. Then under that, he's listening the blessings. If you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God. And then 28:15. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Disobedience brings the curse. So you got obedience versus disobedience. If I want to be blessed, I need to be obedient. I need to listen to the voice of the Lord. If I'm not listening to the voice of the Lord, I'm determined to do it my way. Do it, mm-hmm. Like Frank Sinatra sang that song. Mm-hmm. I did it my way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That brings the that's disobedience, yes. And it brings the curses.
Yes.
Deuteronomy 27:15-26. He's talking about the commandments. The first two commandments will definitely bring a curse, because he said, you know, that it's false. He have no other God before him, and you will make no graven images. So if you don't worship him, you're worshiping something or somebody,
mm-hmm.
and you're cursed. So that's Exodus, false God, Exodus 20:3-5. Then idolatry, the occult, the false God, Deuteronomy 27:15-26. Mm-hmm. 12 curses are pronounced in there. Then you have disrespect to parents, and when he saw that, they obey your parents, because this is the one that comes with a curse. You can so that your days will be long.
Good long life.
Yes. Then you have treachery against your neighbor, rewarding evil for good. Evil will not leave your house. Injustice to weak and poor. And he said the weakest that you think about is babies in the womb. Unnatural sex, especially incest. And I'm going to go back. Disrespect to the parents, Proverbs 30:17. Treachery, Proverbs 17:13. Injustice to the weak, Proverbs 28:27. Unnatural sex, Leviticus 20:10-16. And then anti-Semitism. Because God made Abraham a promise. I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. And when God blesses a person, it draws the opposing forces to you to battle against you. And so God put in place that promise that I'm going to curse those that curse you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have that same blessing.
Wow.
We have that same blessing. Because if Christians are being attacked all over, everywhere. But, well, like I say, nobody gets away. He said, I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. Depending on flesh, relying on himself or someone else instead of God will bring a curse. It's Jeremiah 17:5-7. A person know what to do, but turn to their own ways. Or you knew what to do, and you come out from under the umbrella of God. You just, you know, you have that thing, what they call subtle sin. You know, you do it one time, and you might feel guilty about it. Then you do it again, and then after a while, you start getting comfortable. And it doesn't affect you like it used to. There's no conviction. And if there's no conviction, then there's no repentance. Stealing and perjury. This will cause the whole house to disintegrate. Sin affects the whole house. According to Zechariah 5:1-4. Stinginess toward God brings a curse. I got a lot of this from Derek Prince. And he was saying that, you know, you're not trying to tell every Christian, because I have come up to some people that feel like, you know, we don't have to pay tithes. We do not have to pay tithes. We don't have to give the church all that money or whatever. And they feel like $10 and $20, you know. Well, then that's why things are so sparingly for you. But it's like you say that, you know, no, we don't have to. and because we're under grace. But grace should cause you to want to be more generous.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
You know, the body has taken up a lot of this. Well, we don't have to do this no more. We don't have to do that no more because we're under grace. And that is awful, because grace is not, the blood of Jesus was shed. Mm-hmm. A great price was paid. Mm. Sometimes, you know, when I look at the passion, and I know that don't even, as bad as that was, it still don't touch the surface of what he went through for us. And sometimes it's just hard to just like, I'll make myself look at it sometimes, but sometimes, you know, I don't want to imagine he went through that. And so to say we don't have to do this or that because we're under grace, well, that's taking his life and that blood in vain, because grace was given to empower us. It was given to bridge the gap between us and God. It was given to fulfill a purpose, a call, a destiny. It was shed so that we would be called heirs and joint heirs. Mm. So that we would not, we'll be in the world, but we are not of the world. We would be citizens of another kingdom. Grace is not given for us to do what we want to do. Okay, and then another source of a curse is man as God's mouthpiece. Joshua, when they took over Jericho, and he pronounced a curse in Joshua chapter 6, verse 26, and he pronounced a curse that if anybody rebuild this city, it will be done on the with the death of their sons. And that curse was fulfilled 500 years later. Mm. See how far down the road it went? God. In 1 Kings chapter 16:34, when the king went to rebuild, and he lost both his sons.
And to the word.
To the word.
The word. Exactly as Joshua declared and decreed, it was fulfilled to the word. Every word.
Now, David had announced the curse too on the mountain. I had read and studied that, and I didn't write it down. But he had announced the curse on the mountain that Saul and Jonathan died on, that nothing would ever grow there. And for years, they say they could not get nothing to grow on that mountain. So I went back and I checked. And after I talked to you and whatever, and they say that it's starting to be fertile. So somebody had to break that curse.
Yeah.
Somebody had to break that curse. Mm. But they said, but think about when David was when that battle was back in the Old Testament, and back up to now where they're just being able to get stuff to grow on that mountain. Okay, sources of other sources of curse. Relational authority comes from God. Ephesians 6. You remember I hit on that a while back. Children, obey your parents. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that your days may be long. Honor your father and your mother. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, slaves, employees, be obedient to them that are over you as masters, bosses, slave owners, whatever. Also apply to employees in the workplace. Masters, bosses, be careful how you treat those under you, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no respect of person. Okay. No partiality. Now, words spoken to those under them has supernatural power. Whether they're blessings or curses, second to the blessings of God, the most important blessing any person can have is the blessings of his Father. Doing everything. So if you have a father, you know your father, your father's alive, that is the best blessing you can get is having a father to bless you. If you have confusion with your father, make peace with your father, regardless of you know, our parents may not be or was what we would have wanted, but they're still our parents, and we are required to honor them. So and it's important to make peace with your parents. If you don't have a living father and you haven't been affirmed and whatever, and somebody's speaking a blessing over you, find somebody that is like a father, a pastor or somebody that can pray for you and pray the love of the Father over you and whatever, and see, and that's what we're missing now with the younger generation in all this out of wedlock, and there's no father to affirm the daughter and speak a blessing over the daughter, over the son and the daughter. And these children are looking for that. They are looking for that. The mother, since the father is, we got so many single moms, so it's very important for the mom to bless those children, to speak a blessing over those children.
I just want to add in there the reason that that the Lord promises long life when you honor that honoring is because they gave you life. You're honoring the life. Without them, you wouldn't have life. That's what that honor there means. And that's why we honor God, because He is the giver of all life. And then your parents gave you life.
That's
so
right.
You honor that which gave you life.
Okay, very important for parents to speak blessings over their children. It is said that the Jewish people does that every Sabbath. They speak a blessing over their children. Okay, well, when you say something to your child like, you will never succeed. You will never make it. Parents favor one child over another or whatever. And words spoken on the children as curses will cause the children to struggle.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Again, that's whether you say it face to face, or you just walking around the house mumbling to yourself, or in the car, or wherever.
Or your those attitude still, toward them.
Those are still curses that you are speaking over your children. And then you wonder how come they're not moving along. You got to go to court.
And you know, and they never they never forget those words that were spoken to them.
No, they
and if
don't.
You tell them that they're no good, that's exactly how they're going to act, like they're no good. Well, I'm no good. You know, you never like me anyway, blah, blah, blah. You always favor so-and-so, or whatever.
Yeah.
But, and when you try to compare them, won't you be like so-and-so, so? That's the wrong thing to do, because
yeah,
they're all person. Unique. They have, you know, I can say this like with my daughters. I got three of them.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Three
and they took
girls.
Real good care of me during that accident.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing that was so funny is that Natalie had power of attorney, and Natalie wanted to she's like a book person, and she outlined everything. She outlined she made the timesheet for the person that sat with me. She wrote down all the medicine. She put together a folder and whatever. And everybody had to write their name down, whoever gave me medicine. So when she brings me my medicine, she would say, Mom, here's your medicine. I said, okay.
it, when she bought, when they had to take me to the doctor, or it was time for me to bathe in the morning, she said, Mama, here your water, you know, to bathe, and your clothes, you want to wear this, and stuff like that. And they would take her, they set the dining room up for me to sleep in the dining room, and they slept in the living room, right there by me, so they could hear me when it's time for the pain medicine. And they, you know, all three of them, they were just so different. Natalie comes in and she brings me my medicine. Mom, here's your medicine. Mom, here's your clothes. Vicky comes down and she, Mama, here's your what you supposed to take? You supposed to take this? Okay, here's your clothes. I'm on, and here's your water over there. And I'm going to go in here and I'll be right back by the time you finish. And then Jackie might come. She say, Mama, here's your medicine. And then Natalie will check the thing and say, something wrong. Mama, did you take this? Yeah, Jackie gave it to me. He said, Jackie, my bad. She gave me the wrong thing. So I had to check on her. They're just different. Yeah. And Jackie might come down there and she have clothes don't match. I mean, nothing. Something like, where did she get it from? You know? And she's, the two slept in the living room to be close to me. She brings me the phone and say, call her when I need her. And then when the pain started coming and I call her, her answer thing comes on. Hey, this is Jackie Bomb. You just leave a message. So, you know, they just different. You just got to learn to learn their style, appreciate them, laugh, just laugh and that's enjoy right. them. That's just right. enjoy them because they were just so different.
Could I interject something real quick?
Yes.
Just real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, we wouldn't dare think as parents of being a Christian parents of mm-hmm. being negative toward mm-hmm. our children.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think it's just as detrimental that we don't praise them?
Exactly.
It is. It's one thing that we wouldn't say, you'll never amount to anything. You can't do that. You're not smart. But what about when we don't praise them? We're always on their case about something.
Right.
About something they did wrong and never praise them about what they did right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't you think that's the same thing?
Yes.
As being negative?
Because you're affirming them.
That's
you're
right.
Them, you're encouraging them. You're helping them. You're driving them into their destiny.
So the lack of praising them or acknowledging what they have done is just as equal to the detriment of saying negative things to them all the time.
That's right. That's right.
Well, they're
that's why they say that the blessings of a father is so important. Mm-hmm. And that the Jewish people, every Sabbath, they speak a blessing mm-hmm. over their children. If this man gave an analogy, and he said that two children, mm-hmm. one came out of a Gentile home, and mm-hmm. then one came out of a Jewish home, and they brought home their report cards. The Gentile had a D in math. And the parents fussed at him, call him dumb. You can't do no better than this. Yeah. You can bring this up and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But the Jewish child went home and the parents saw that D and say, a D? Well, that stupid teacher, they can't teach. And see, they didn't blame the child. They blamed the teacher for not teaching. But you know, it's just, that it's something for us to learn. But, you know, you don't want to blame nobody else.
Right.
No, you don't want to blame nobody else because we're all responsible for our own deeds. But it's so important to be careful what we speak over them.
That's right.
Because they're going to live it.
That's right.
And they'll struggle with that.
Mm.
If there's certain sickness or whatever, like Jack was saying, her granddaughter say, I'm not sick. She had to keep saying that,
mm-hmm.
and that what that does, that causes the body to heal itself,
yes,
because
it
get down to the into her spirit. But if somebody always telling you sick,
uh-huh.
you know, and then you know I'm sick, you know, what are you gonna do?
Mm.
Because the body going to respond mm-hmm. to what you feed it. And that's why with myself, I say, I refuse to accept what the doctor said. I just refuse it.
Mm.
And teachers, teachers speak curses over students. You know, they having a difficulty learning. They you know, different things that teachers would say about a child. Mm-hmm. And you know, that hurts a child, especially if they said that thing in front of other children, because other children will taunt that child. Mm-hmm. And then it makes them afraid to open up in class and participate. If they're not getting help at home, and then they're being called dumb mm-hmm. in school, and that reading, they might know the word, but it would still come difficult pronouncing it. And learning will be difficult. And they will drop out. They will fail. Okay, these things, let me see, the results a child will have is a difficult time trying to make it. These things follow through down to the next generation. Okay, self-imposed curses. The things we say about ourselves. Replace these with positive words. You know, because people, I've done it with myself. Oh God, I can't do this, I can't do that, and whatever. And if you say you can't, you won't.
That's right.
But and so if you have to change your mindset, your frame of mind, your way of thinking and speaking, and agree with the word of God. Okay. The next one is making covenant with people who are in covenant with false gods. And he mentioned, like, the most common one he said was Freemasonry. Because he said that is a covenant that's connected to a false god. Okay, another source of curse is practices of tribal societies. Baby or a young person is initiated into the tribe by certain rites, by cuts made on the skin or powder injected under the skin. And, you know, in certain cultures, they might take those children and dedicate them to you know, these false gods and stuff like that, and they think they're doing good, but they're doing bad, and that child is cursed until somebody come and break it. Curses from the evil side, curses from servants of Satan, Christians, political leaders, athletes wanting to win power, and they go to witch doctors to pronounce curses on others and to inflict. I have a friend that's from Haiti, and she was telling me about a couple that she's known that they're separated, but they're fighting, but they're fighting witchcraft. Like, one, you know, wants to get. She's trying to talk the wife out of not doing it so that she won't bring devastation on herself, because the husband has already done it. And it's known to be very common in Africa when political leaders, you know, they'll go to witch doctors so that they can win political offices or other countries or whatever. But, you know, these things are not limited to Africa and Haiti.
No, they
are very common right here in America. Because one minister that I listened to years ago, she said, we in Africa are trying to get rid of witchcraft. But America glamorizes it. And we do. And when it gets close to, like, let me see, August, September, and October, it's, you can't even look at a commercial without it being witchcraft, something demonic.
and stuff like that. And I remember when I was little and I used to read everything in the True magazines and stuff like that. And I read about the Chainsaw Massacre. And I was telling some coworkers when they was talking about it at work and they wanted to go see it. And they was laughing about it. I said, do you know that that is true? Yeah, I know it, but I still like it. When I was talking to a Christian about Halloween, she said, well, I don't do the bad part, I just do the good part. There is nothing good in Halloween. Trick or treat is not good. That's to ward off the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that stuff. And it's so much has entered the body and the compromise, and you wonder why we're powerless. Okay, I'm gonna try here. Okay, in Deuteronomy 7:26, anything brought into your home that is associated with idolatry or the occult, you are opening the way for a curse to come in. Things that people use for decoration, statues, and all kind of ornaments. Specific steps to take to release yourself from a curse. It's an ongoing process. It's something you have to do all the time, because sometimes you'll do things and you don't even realize it, or say things that you don't realize it. So you constantly have to stay in prayer and have a heart of repentance. Galatians 3:13-14. Ephesians 1:7. Colossians 1:12-14. 1 John 3:8. Luke 10:19. Confess your faith in Christ, because Jesus is the high priest. Commit yourself to obedience. Confess any known sins, either by yourself or your ancestors. Mm-hmm. Now, okay. The sins of your ancestors in some ways can affect you. But there's a difference. You are not guilty for your ancestors' sins. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, you was asking about that. Mm-hmm. Okay, but you are susceptible by them. Mm-hmm. You are responsible for your own sins. Mm-hmm. But in order to be fully clear, if you know that your ancestors were idol worshippers, Mormons, Christian Science, something that is totally unscriptural, be released from it, because it can influence you.
It
affect you, influence you. It comes on down.
Yeah.
I had list some things. Racism.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff goes on and on. You know, sexual molestation, child abuse, alcoholism, the effects and the curses of a woman minister's childbearing, the land being cursed. And, y'all remember the feud between the Hatfields and the McCoys?
Mm-hmm.
And I had the opportunity to work with a co-worker from both sides.
Wow.
She was doing really, really well. And she said that her and her mom had went back to the mountains and they had walked in the store. I think she was from the McCoy side. But the Hatfields recognized them and her mom said, let's get out. And they didn't want to serve them. And when I went to work, and then later on down the years, another one came in as an x-ray student and she was from the Hatfield side. And she was really struggling, really, really struggling. You know, and I asked both of them a lot of questions because I was curious. I had seen the movie. And, you know, the movie always, it don't tell them. It tells some facts. You know, like the enemy does when he goes to God, he takes facts. But when us, he lied. He twists everything like he did with Eve. So, you know, I asked a lot of questions and whatever. And the child that was from the Hatfield side, you know, she said that she left because she wanted a better life. She brought two children out with her. She said that the most of them that was there was really struggling with drugs, alcohol, sex, and God knows, she said it was horrible. But see that, and from what I understand, that feud start with one little thing. They say with about a hog, or whatever. But you know, it's just crazy. But it, by the time it all ended up, and they finally made peace, but they had lost 13 members. Family members between them, you know, and it, horrible murders, horrible murders, and so this thing, but the yes, we are responsible for our sins. Mm-hmm. God will not hold us guilty for that, but if something happens down the line before it got to us, mm-hmm. and it hasn't been dealt with, mm-hmm. it can influence us. It can affect us. Like you had given the analogy about the person with the math.
The mathematician, yeah, Pascal.
Yeah.
You want me to share that?
And, yes.
Okay. It just drives home the fact that there are things that are hereditary.
Mm-hmm.
And also moral decisions, mm-hmm. and immorality can also be passed down from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. People don't stop and think about that.
Mm-hmm.
They think about, okay, physical traits, like I certain eye color, hair color can pass on to my children.
Mm-hmm.
But you also need to realize that certain iniquities, sins, and transgressions can pass down from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
They can.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Children learn by influence. They mm-hmm. see their children. They're affected.
Mm-hmm.
Children are affected by what their parents do.
That's right.
But also it becomes so ingrained in them.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes, when they see it over, they see lying, they still cheating, they still cheat, they
mm-hmm.
see cheating, they see hypocrisy,
mm-hmm.
that it makes them sick,
mm-hmm.
and turns them away
mm-hmm.
from following God, because they see it one way
mm-hmm.
in one setting and another way in another setting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying that morality also can be, It's an influence of your environment, but it also can be passed down. It's very tricky. I mean, you're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, but let me get on to the point about the mathematician.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this proved it to me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it deals with that question about where they said, they were saying to Ezekiel, that proverb, that the Jewish people were quoted this proverb based on the second commandment about idolatry. They started picking up this proverb that our parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. In other words, they're saying to the prophet, it's not my fault. My parents did it. Why am I being punished for my parents' behavior? But the prophet said to them, well, you're doing no better than your parents. The same
mm-hmm.
thing your parents did, you're doing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
See? It was ingrained in them because they saw their parents doing it. Well, they wanted a scapegoat for why they were being corrected by
mm-hmm.
God. Okay, so it goes into the issue about hereditary and learning things from your parents. Okay, there's a mathematician called Pascal.
Mm-hmm.
And Pascal's father was a mathematician. Now, Pascal is a French philosopher, and he is a well-known mathematician. Okay, so his father did not want him to follow the way of mathematics. So he took all the books away from him that had to do with mathematics. And he wanted him to follow the teaching of the church. So he tried to expose him to what he wanted him to do. But in secret, this young man was practicing mathematics and ended up becoming a great mathematician and a philosopher. And with no studies, no study aids whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But what's my point in this? It was in his DNA.
That's right.
It was in him.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers, lots of people that are teachers, their children become teachers. It's that gift in them. It runs down line. Geniuses pass from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
They do. So the thing is that also, as well as a physical trait like this,
mm-hmm.
like your eye color,
mm-hmm.
The boy wasn't, as a boy, he wasn't even trained in that, but it was in him and it came out. I'm talking about mm-hmm. things that are hereditary, mm-hmm. that are in us, are passed down from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. We can't deny it.
Mm-hmm. And there's another one I want to bring up. I thought I wrote that scripture down. But anyway, it's in Hebrews. Where we say about Abraham when he paid tithes to Melchizedek. Mm-hmm. Wow. And Levi paid tithes while he was yet in Abraham's loins.
Yes.
And it was generations down the road.
Wow.
So we, somebody had also given an analogy similar to what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
He used two people. He said one, did not come from a Christian home and the life that he led and whatever and all the crime or the defeat and all of that followed. And then another one that came from a Christian home mm-hmm. and everybody became preachers and teachers and prophets and whatever. So these things are real.
They are real.
They're on the bloodline.
They are real.
They're on the bloodline. Yes, we are responsible for our own sins, but whatever our parents did or did not do can affect us and cause influence in our lives.
But we can deal with it and get victory and break it.
We can break it through scripture, confessing our sins, forgiving people. That's the most important thing, for forgiving. And in forgiveness, think about your own self. Forgive your own self, because there are things that we have done to hurt ourselves and we feel like we're so bad that the enemy will bring condemnation, so much condemnation where you feel like you can't be forgiven. But it's just as important to forgive yourself as you forgive somebody else. And accept responsibility for what you did or did not do. Don't try to pass it off. Renounce all contact with the cult by yourselves and by your ancestors. We're not responsible for their sins, but it affects us. Mm-hmm. Get rid of all objects. Release yourself in the name of Jesus. And then confess and expect the blessings of Abraham. It is the Holy Spirit who administers the blessings. And I have a lot more, but it's okay. I need to cut it off.
I know. Do you want to take questions right now?
We can answer since we have it on the audio.
There might be some other people that have questions. If you have any questions about what was taught, not going off into another direction, but if you have any questions about what she said, really on track, okay? Not giving us a preach and going on to another scripture or whatever. Questions about what she was talking about. That was interesting, though, because when Carolyn brought that up a few weeks ago about the children, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge, that really got me curious and got me to looking about some things.
Still looking, though.
Yeah, and he said, there'll come a time when you'll be responsible for your own sin. But the fact is, I thought about just like in Jesus' days. Remember Jesus said, you killed the prophets?
Mm-hmm.
He told them, the religious leaders, he said, you killed the prophets, you stole them. And what did they say? No, we didn't. What are you talking about? Your ancestors did.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It passed on down
and
generation to generation.
And one thing, too, that you, especially like from reading the word, like Jehoroboam, it's say like if the king was wicked and the next king is is his son, he's more wicked.
More wicked and vile than his father.
Than the father.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets worse if it's not cleaned up. But praise be unto God that when I was listening to the other guy, he said that God always put a prophet in the
family.
That's
right.
Whether that person choose to follow God or follow Satan.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a prophet in the family.
That's right.
Because Asa was put, he interrupted the evilness.
Wow.
And he did things in right in the eyes of God. And another thing, as we read, is that some of them,
even though they may have done right in the eyes of God, mm-hmm. they didn't remove the high places.
Yeah, that's right.
And it still caused the people to go there and sin. And so we wait. So in receiving salvation, and getting baptized in the Holy Ghost and whatever, but we got all these things in
the
our house.
Places.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or we set up our children, you know, and you know, we worship our children or our house. If we're not careful, we will have a God other than the true God.
Mm-hmm. But also, the high places in our life can be our thinking,
our wrong thinking,
our
right.
twisted,
because that was in that
thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That is the high place.
That's
and I
a
have
high
to
place.
Deal. I have to deal with this house mm-hmm. and this temple.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
I have to deal with this house and this temple
mm-hmm.
before God. What is it in this house?
That's
you
right.
know that saying that sometimes you're.
Because you like go back like the heart. Out of the heart comes the
yes.
issues of life.
But you know, Jesus even said that sometimes your worst enemies can be of your own household.
Your own self.
Well, I had a thought, a revelation
self.
On that today. Today, this
go ahead,
morning,
I'm sorry.
Or either it was last night, one or the other. I was meditating on it. Okay, we like to think, okay, that's people in my household, my family that comes against me. But sometimes your enemy can be a member of your own. Look here, your own house.
Yes, that's right.
Your greatest enemy can be what's here right inside of you that you have not dealt with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how do you know, how do we know, how do I know there is stuff I have not dealt with and settled with God because it keeps on coming
back.
Mm-hmm.
And Holy Spirit
and
brings it
again.
Up so you can deal with it.
That's right.
But you brush it to the side.
Well, that's what it means when he said he visits. That's
mm-hmm.
not a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
When he visits the iniquities of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. I always looked at that as a negative thing when I read that. But that God, what's a visit? A visit, somebody calls you on the phone or they come by your house. They want to check on you. They want to see how you're doing, how
mm-hmm.
things are progressing in your life. He's visiting them to check on you, to see if you're making progress. You know what
yes.
I'm saying?
He
to
comes,
see if you'll turn yes. from that.
Yes.
If you won't keep on going that way.
Mm-hmm.
If you reject
mm-hmm.
the iniquity of your forefathers. And as good of a parent as we all
yes.
of us have had, if we've had good parents, there's still things that need to be dealt with.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. There are several points that have, you know, one was, how long do we have to repent for the generations past? You know, is it a constant, the same thing over and over again, saying, well, Lord, you know, they were alcoholics and I'm repenting of this. I'll come back and say the same thing over again. When do we stop and say, okay, Lord, you can deal with this. Now I need to move on to something else.
Well, it's not just repenting of it. It's not just repenting of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's breaking the curse.
Okay.
And then from there, it's the words of your mouth. No, this curse is broken. Alcoholism
okay.
will not prevail, right?
Oh, my
in my children.
But
it will not.
You can repent of the sins of your fathers.
You can
mm-hmm.
do that
you can
repeatedly.
Repent of the sins of your fathers.
Repeatedly?
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't want
no,
to
no.
repeat.
Okay.
So one thing.
Okay.
And then
that's
that
my
thing
question.
Yes.
Off your family.
Okay.
Off you and your family.
And the reason
we'll
that we're
give an example, we will be doing an example next week, if not today, but next week
okay.
we will.
Yeah. And the reason that we're
I
talking about it over and over again is not because you have to do it over and over
oh,
again.
Oh, okay.
It's just to, you know, as a teacher, just to reiterate and bring it home. The more you hear it, the more you get it.
Okay.
Inside of you, yes, okay.
Then the blessing that we pronounce over our children.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back and I looked up because I saw where Abraham blessed Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob blessed all his
yes,
children.
He did.
But he also told them what was going to happen to each and every one
prophecy.
Of them. Yeah. So, I get that. I understand that. And then I wanted to make this transparency.
I wanted to add something because, you know, like you say, going down on how they had blessed. Because even Moses, before he passed, he blessed all 12 nations again.
That's right.
So it's so important, you know, but even like to let you know that how political leaders need to be blessing our nation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yes.
The transparency that I wanted to make was this, and I know it was God Almighty, nobody else, okay? Because alcoholism is prevalent in my family, and so is having children out of wedlock and divorce and so forth and so on. But I remember one year, went to Savannah, and I was with my sister, my cousin, my brother-in-law, my sister, all of us was together, and went to Hanafia, which is an Air Force base down there. It was one New Year's, and some kind of way, I got intoxicated. Now, don't ask me how, because I was not no big drinker, but I did get intoxicated. And I wound up at my sister's house, and next morning, I had this headache. And she said, well, just drink another 24-ounce beer, or whatever it was. I don't remember. And she said, it'll sober you up. And I was like, oh, no, I'm going back home to South Carolina. And I'm getting on my knees, and I'm thanking God that I ain't dead no place.
Praise the Lord.
And I did that, and that was the last drink that I ever had. Yeah, because I went home. I went directly to God. Mm-hmm. But this same sister has a total of 4 children. Her youngest daughter has 4 kids. Not every one of them graduated from high school, nor did she. Mm-hmm. And crying out to God, because I kept saying, Lord, this thing is terrible. And I would talk to my sister, and she would say, well, you know, I can't go to the school because I don't have transportation like you. I said, I never had transportation all my life, but I so happened to have a car. I said, but I also made time to see about my children, too. I said, you got to do that. Well, I got to work. I said, I work, too. So when this daughter dropped out in the 6th grade, this was in the 90s, okay? You don't drop out in the 20th century in the 6th grade. I don't care who you are. She dropped out. Her children dropped out. Not nary one. And I kept telling her, I said, listen, 10 years down the road, they got to have some kind of
livelihood.
Something.
Yeah.
Well, the 2 youngest boys, they don't have any children. The daughter just had a baby last year. The oldest son has 2, but he's been in jail since heaven knows when. And I kept talking to my sister, and she kept saying, oh, well, that's just you and your crew. Y'all think y'all better than anybody else, sister. Okay, you know what, Lord? When am I supposed to continuously talk to her about her children, her grandchildren, and her great-grandchildren? This thing got to break.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you come in.
And she can do that for them. Correct.
Yeah, she is the prophet of parents.
Say that again.
You are a generational curse breaker.
Glory to God.
Because let me tell you, because see, what I had gone through with my brothers and sisters and taking care of them and going to the jailhouse and all of this and the drugs and everything and paying for funeral expenses and whatever, and people kept telling me, you're chosen. I got so sick and tired of hearing that. I don't want to be chosen no more. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got, but that's what it is. You know, I didn't get the full understanding of that until later. That I'm the prophet of the family. I'm the curse breaker. And that's what you are. Okay. You're chosen.
My God.
You can't go to her because she... That's like hitting a brick wall. It ain't going to go in. It's not going to go in.
The veil's there.
Right.
The veil is there.
So all you can do is ask God to rent the veil off her mind.
After you do the other.
Yeah. But repent for her. Be very careful what you say about her. She ain't going to learn. She ain't going to do no bad. You got to speak everything positive. You got to speak everything
positive. And I'm going to...
Yeah, you chose.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
with what okay, Joanne's yeah. saying about speaking positive. I know she means based on scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Based on scripture. So we are going to, we are, we.
Well, you know, even though, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, no, you can still speak positive, but I know you mean, you know, according to scripture, too. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can speak positive, and then you're speaking positive according to scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, just want to make that clear for people listening.
Yeah.
On the website. But we are at a place where really we are going to go in. Take another breather.
Yeah.
No, it, because it's good. It's not, it's, yeah, and the more I am practicing, the more I'm going in, and we will learn, because again, we want to make sure that we keep our eyes focused on that we've done the prayer this way and we've not seen anything, okay? There is something, there's something more, there's something different, okay? And not to sound blasphemous or so forth, but we've said this too. Jesus died on the cross. Well, that didn't just do it either. That he did that so we can do this.
That's right.
Okay?
That's
because if it would have just been the cross, I wish it would have just been that easy, but we'd all been automatically delivered, healed, etc.
Mm-hmm.
He did that so that we can go into the court.
Yes.
Okay? And in some of the things in some of the ways that we did pray over the years.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry, Izzy. I will have to call you back. I don't know who you are.
You know, we have prayed and said, Father, we thank you for the blood on the mercy seat. But that's all we knew. And God granted us grace and mercy. And he kept everything in check right that point. But he couldn't do anything else because the enemy can and does tie the hands of God, because God will obey everything that he wrote in here. We have to always be mindful that the enemy is the prince and the power of the air. He still is. He hasn't been cast into hell yet. But the Lord is showing and teaching us that we have to do this and right the wrong in heaven with the books that are there. We have only scratched the surface. It is still deeper. There's a lot more to this. But it's not complicated.
No.
It's a good thing. Yeah. And it's not complicated. So take a breath. And as we continue, we will see, and you will write down, and you will see.
We'll practice it.
And we will be practicing. Yeah. And after a while, you'll be doing it so much on your own that even as we go into the teaching, you'll be, it'll be more of a reminder. Ooh, I know this that I need to take care of in my family line, because I didn't understand this either, and I'm just getting it dead, because I told Kathy, I said, I feel like it's all on me. You know what? I'm just seeing the day. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I've said it since long after, after I got born again. Mm-hmm. I've said it, I feel like everything's on me.
Yeah, that's how
I But you know what? That's why God says I visit the generation.
That's
because,
right.
Because see, he comes to this generation and
they reject
that person
it.
Still didn't do anything about it.
That's right.
So
they reject it.
So he visits the next generation.
That's right.
This is the one. Darling, you're it. You're the one that
that's
I wanted.
Right.
And then, so he's counting on this one.
That's
to
right.
do that.
That's
so
right.
So that the lineage above before won't have to deal with this stuff.
That's
they
right.
They will be free from
that's
it.
Right.
That's what that visit means. It's a good thing. Sweetie, are you going to, please, come on. You're going to be the one to do it. Come on.
That's
I'm right here with you. Because God does, he's not the only one on the earth with dominion. He still has the plan.
Yes.
That you, this is, I gave this earth to you. Psalms 115. You are the one on the earth to control the enemy. Through me. It's always all through
Amen.
Him.
Amen. We have a couple of the people that have some questions.
Okay, let me say something.
Yes.
To
yes.
Carol.
Okay.
Okay, the best thing right now, where you're at, repent what you ever said about them, then repent for them.
Yes.
And then that's another thing that of what I did, because of the family gathering and me seeing my family 3 weeks ago, and I, you know, and it's like, you know, we were enjoying it, but it's like your spiritual eyes come on, you know, and you start seeing like, oh my God, oh my God. So and it has led me to start praying and interceding more for my family and certain ones.
Yeah.
So you go back to the scripture where it says, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. I took communion, take communion for a cousin that seriously needs some help in my family. And I go in for her. Take communion for them. Take communion for them.
Amen. I believe that. I believe that.
This is what we're going to pick up next week.
Yeah, we've got some other people to have questions. But I do want to say one thing before I get to this. I hope you're using the book, because the prayers that I have prayed, when I pray for you, first of all, you go in and you do the prayer for yourself.
Yeah.
You deal with yourself first, like we talked about.
Yes.
Okay? You deal with yourself. You do that first. And then you go into the prayer to break the generational curse. But first, you do the prayer for you. It's in the book. It's in the prayer guide.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Don't despise small beginnings.
Right.
It might start off as a little thing. Tell that another day about my sister, but it's a blessing now.
Yeah, amen. Okay, let's get these two people in that had questions.
One of the things that always pondered me or disturbed me was when it says to the third and fourth generation, but then I would keep reading of those that hate me. And I keep saying, okay, God, you know, you hate me or you hate my children. And I think right now I got, if I'm saying to God, I love you, and I want to do what you want me to do, and then I turn around and do something else, I don't mean to, maybe, but I'm showing hatred, because I'm doing the opposite of his word.
You
know, I'm not. Okay. So when it says, because I used to think, this is really cruel, God. These people are the third, fourth generation of you know, but now also understanding the generational stuff, that would be part of it, right, Miss Joanne? And what I want you and Carmen and whoever, and Miss Arabella gave me something one time, and I don't know if I can find it. It was a prayer, and it was about a page and a half long. It was handwritten, and it had on there all the different things that can be anti-gods. I mean, we put them up as gods, but they're not really good. Karate was one. You were saying some things today. Molestation, divorce, Eastern Star, or I'm thinking welfare could fall into that. I knew a family with four generations of people on welfare. So if you guys find that, or you could think of all the ones, I put down several of them today, because what I realized is I was an Eastern Star. I've done karate before. I'm divorced twice. I'm a victim of molestation, if I want to claim that. I mean, there are so many things. Miss Joanne and I have been praying and talking, but I'm realizing right now, Miss Joanne, I need to go in and see how many different things there are, right? Am I correct, ladies? And I need to pray and release over each and every one.
Because God's not going to hold them against you.
Yeah,
it's the enemy that brings the condemnation to keep you bound up.
Yeah.
Again, we're at the place. Next week's teaching, you're going to see how
the application
it flows in.
And let me say something else before we get to the next question. This might help people that are listening to this, okay? Is that don't go on a witch hunt.
Yes.
Don't go on a hunt. Don't go trying to dig up stuff.
Right.
Let Holy Spirit show it to you.
That's right.
Let Him show it to you.
Let people show it to you.
Okay.
I want just to say after Sister Caroline, but before I say that, yesterday I was in the backyard, and I was mowing the grass and talking to the Lord. And the Spirit asked me a question. Why did Jesus, out of everybody, went to the woman at the well? Why did he do that? And I couldn't answer. But afterward, the Spirit said to me, remember Jesus' word. In our family, we have good, bad, and indifference, as my mother said. But in our family, We have to go back to the word of God. Jesus said, I did not do anything unless my Father said that I must do it. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So is the Father showing that woman of the well? Everybody believed that woman was unclean and everything. But that woman at the well was speaking only to the Father alone, asking the Father alone to help her, right? And he sent his son to him, right? We believe that we can help all our family. We can't. But one thing we can do is to pray for them. Every time you go down, you're walking on the street, you say, Lord, my sister, my family, I put them before you. And if you keep, if we, not you alone, we all have them in our family, but if we keep putting them before the Lord said, mercy is there for them. He said, grace is there for them. And he will send the Holy Spirit in time. In time, not our time, not what we want them to do, but in his time. He said every one of us on earth have a time and a season for everything under the sun that he God do. So if we can remember those words in praying and pray back those words to God, he will help you, sister. My grandson, he wouldn't look at us, he wouldn't. He just gone our way. And I said to my daughter, when my daughter cried, I said, there is nothing we can do for him but to pray. He have a woman that set him up and tell and call the cop and said he fire gun. There was no gun. And when I went into court with him, I went into court with his grandmother and with his mother. And he said, Grandma, I'm so happy to see you. I'm so happy to see you. Because you know why? He believed everybody rejected him. Nobody business with him. So he going to do his thing. But when you show them that you care, that's what going to take the icing off the cake. And now he's a different, totally, with prayer. And show him that you care. He is a totally, totally different person. We couldn't do it by talking to him. We couldn't do it by saying nothing because he believed the whole family hates him. But God can do it. That's why. So don't believe that he has forgotten or our kids, them are rejected. Just show them you are there for them and leave the rest to God.
That means you have a thought, or did you?
Well, I wanted to. Transparent with this study, but in reading, because I finished reading the book, so you don't have to search. We don't have to search for things to pray for, but as things come up, we're to pray, take care of it. Now we know how to do that. And one of the things that the Lord had showed me this week about my life. Is there was an incident that happened years ago at the Sparkle Bay Fair, and Shelby's biological mother was there, and so there were other people around who knew that I was Shelby's mom, but she introduced her biological mother a certain way to this group. So the way that it happened, it was, now Jimmy was really upset about it. I didn't say anything. But I was hurt by the way that it happened. And the Lord showed me this week that I recognized that was the point that I said, I will just be there, but I'm not really going to do anything. I'm not going to really be the mom that I should be. I'm just going to be there. And that's what I've been doing, which has caused a lot of the issues, which is why a lot of the issues that's happened in our lives has happened. It's because, and that was that moment. I checked out.
Well, then you took that into the courts of heaven and dealt with it.
Yes. Well, and I'm preparing myself, preparing everything now to do that.
That's why. That's why. Preparing.
Yes. I literally checked out.
Yeah.
Thank you for your transparency.
I checked out. I said.
Thank you.
Well.
Yes.
You know.
We've got to be honest about these things. Yes. We can't keep sweeping them We have to be honest.
Yes.
About these things before God. That's what God wants us to do, to be honest with them and to deal with them.
You will see the victory and you will see the healing.
Amen.
You will see the redemption.